You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. It is 6 minutes after nine here on a Friday on the West Coast. 6 minutes after noon on the East Coast, and if you're somewhere in between, then it's 6 minutes after the hour. So we continue talking to Marine officers about General Allen's speech last night. And joining me from Tufts University is Mike Pesnola. Pez, as he's known to his friends, and Mike retired as a colonel. He's at Tufts University now, head of one of the leadership programs there. So, Pez, first of all, thanks for coming back on and talking about a pretty interesting issue relative to military service, the Marine Corps in general, and to the nation. So thanks for coming on.
Hey, Mac, as always, I truly appreciate it. It's an honor to be on.
All right. And then
it's interesting to start the conversation.
All right. And then Jack Hoban joins us. And Jack was on about a month ago, and he got out of the Marine Corps as a captain. He's currently the president of Resolution Group Incorporated. He's a he's one of the principals in terms of the MCMAT program, the ethical concept of the ethical warrior, translated that into the ethical guardian, done incredible work with the Camden Police Department, and has incredible things to say. Now, both these guys have never met, yet they have Robert Humphrey as a tremendous influence in their life. Jack tells a story about him meeting Mr. Humphrey when he came back from studying martial arts in Japan, and Pez married his daughter, for God's sake. So let me do the introduction. Pez, this is...
Wait a minute.
Susan? You married Susan?
No.
Oh, Rob Humphrey.
Karen's
sister.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Holy smokes. That is a coincidence.
Small world.
Small world. So let's start out with just general comments. Pez, first you. You saw General Allen's speech last night. General comments about it.
Well, first I'll preface it with, as you know, Mac, we all worked with General Allen at the basic school, and then later years, and I got a tremendous amount of respect for him, and he's one of my my mentors, and you know, again, tremendous amount of respect for him. But
right.
I watched it, I read it, and then I watched it, and the word I sent you, it was troubling, only because I think as individuals, when we take off the uniform, as I recently have done, it's a free country, freedom of speech. You can say what you want, but I think it seemed to step over a line in terms of politicizing the military when you have all those veterans behind, as he did behind him. You know, I think it was taken just a step too far in terms of the politicization of the military, almost saying that, hey, these warriors who have fought and died need to get on this side. I don't think the military, it's a very dangerous, slippery slope. The military should take sides in these. We just got to be apolitical. We have these senior leaders with a tremendous amount of experience, and whoever becomes president is going to need them. And we've had presidents that are military leaders that have become presidents, so it's not, you know, it's happened. Eisenhower, Grant, but I think this just seemed a little bit different, and I would think I don't want to speak for General Allen, but I think he and a lot of senior officers that have gotten out of, I think they're concerned about what's happening on the other side. I personally, I'm holding back. I want to wait and see what happens, but I just think it's sliding into that politicization of the military, which is somewhat disturbing.
Okay, so when you say they're concerned about what's going on the other side, what exactly did you mean by that?
Well, no, I think people, you know, and again, I try to, on the Trump side, I try to read everything, you know, the word for word interviews and so forth, because I want the firsthand accounts. I don't want the media's cut on what Trump or the Trump campaign is saying. So I think when you do that, you see he does shoot from the hip. He is an open book, you know, probably to a fault. concerns some of these leaders. They see him and they're just concerned. You know, you look at what he said about NATO. And right. I served over in Europe for 3.5 years at one of the last billets. And I too am concerned. But when you read the transcript of his New York Times article interview, he is treating it more like a business transaction. He wants to be more assertive with our allies. But it is an alliance. We signed it. We are treaty bound to go. We can't be a stutter step. But I think what he's doing, I don't take it so far that he says he's going to leave NATO. I take it that he's going to ask some tough questions about the commitments that our allies have.
Okay.
And it's not as simple as, hey, have you come up with the 2%? There's a lot of math that goes into it, what that 2% is, what each country counts for their military spending. Each country does a little bit different. So it's not as easy.
All right, Jack. No, that's awesome. Jack, thoughts, general thoughts on General Allen's speech last night.
Well, like Pez, can I call you Pez?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to hear what the guy has to say. And I don't know General Allen as well. I knew him way back in the day. He probably didn't even remember me. And then when he was a one-star, he was a big supporter of McMap and came over and spoke to us personally. And so we really appreciated the support that he gave for the ethical warrior concept. And I think he alluded to the ethics of our position in his speech. But again, there was a couple of things that stood out for me that I was, I had questions on. Number one was, he said, and he used the words, our common values. Well, I would ask, please be more specific. What are our common values? Because the atmosphere seems to be that our common values in this country are split at least in the middle, if not split into, a lot of pieces of pie here. And I think it's necessary for someone to go, okay, with all the differences that we have, here's what we do have in common. Let me articulate that clearly, lead from that. And then we'll deal with the differences afterwards. I'm still waiting for somebody to articulate what our common values are. They're supposed to be life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but does everybody even know what that means? I mean, in this context. So that was the first thing. The second thing that stood out for me was he has a reputation as a coalition builder, as you know, particularly most recently with the IS, the anti-IS coalition, which, by the way, the major achievement was bringing Turkey into that, and I don't know where that stands right now with what Turkey's happened, but Turkey aside, if you're a coalition builder, I think you got to be careful, and I think America is a great country too, but to say that America is the greatest country on earth, a lot of us feel that way. I do, but that's not a coalition building statement because coalition partners don't necessarily want to hear that. So if you're going to be a politician, I think you've got to be careful about that kind of thing, even if you believe it. And then he didn't want our politics to be reduced to a business transition, Pez referred to that. I'm a businessman beside a Marine. That didn't bother me at all. In a business transaction, you give value for value, and you negotiate your differences, and maybe all these career politicians and people who have, no offense, you guys, but have been cashing government paychecks your whole lives and careers, you shouldn't be disparaging the businessmen who built the economic power of this country and did create a lot of very fair value-for-value negotiations to get the country to where it is today. So those are the three things that bothered me a little bit, and one more. In his last, I don't know if it was the last statement, but he said, he referred again to the world order. And I got to tell you, when people say the world order, I feel like I got bugs crawling on me, because that's, again, another one of these terms that you got to articulate clearly what you mean by that. because the world has a lot of different orders, and there's not just one, and we need to get clear about that. On the very positive side, I was very happy to hear him come out clearly against torture and those kind of things. That really, to me, was a very strong statement, and I think Trump better rethink that position if he wants to keep the high moral ground.
All right. Let me ask you a fundamental. I got a couple emails and that I've received. First one, I'll ask you both. And Jack, we'll start with you. How can he, if the premise, if character matters, how could he do this? He has been one of the guys who I first heard at the Naval Academy, then I heard as an officer in the Fleet Marine Force. He is as ethical and straight as they come. If he believes that, how could he hitch his wagon to somebody so unethical, so frequently, and such a disappointment? Jack, any idea?
Yeah, he wants to get a high position in government.
Quid pro quo?
He's decided. He's, you know, and his reasons are his own. Let's make it clear. You know, I run a healthcare company. I know some martial arts, and I was a captain in the Marine Corps. He knows way more about dealing at the high levels of politics and military, and personally knows Hillary Clinton. You and I don't. So I'm not going to say that I know better than he does. But, you know, from a practical standpoint, the reason that he's doing it is because he feels that this is a route for him to get high public office, and that if he has high public office, then he can make, you know, do things, make things happen. And if you don't have high public office, you can't. So, you know, he has to make that decision of where, how is he going to get to a position where he can make a difference? And he decides with Hillary Clinton, so that's why he did it.
All right, Pez.
If
character matters, how could he do this? And I know that you probably heard from a lot of peers, Pez, about what the hell happened last night.
Absolutely, and it is a tough one. But you know, you don't get to where General Allen was, and this is a positive comment. But you know, he understands diplomacy, and a key element of diplomacy is compromise. Now, are you compromising your ethics? I don't know. But I think I look at it, I'm not so sure about what the future holds for him and what his motives are, but I think he is an extremely ethical, moral person. And I think, again, I think from his perspective, he's chosen a side. And I think he is so concerned about the Trump side of the House and all the bad baggage as he sees it on that side, that he feels morally obligated to go with Clinton, knowing that there are those ethical issues, and he has. He's worked very closely with the Secretary of State, so he knows her better than all of us do combined. But that said, I mean, you can't argue with the findings of the FBI and the things that have happened. So I'm sure that it wasn't. He had to weigh those issues to come out, but I think it outweighed the ethical issues with Clinton outweighed his concern with Trump. And again, I'm trying to speak for him, but this is what I'm supposing how he came to that. But I'm sure it was a difficult decision because the facts are out there. I mean, the FBI investigations out there. There were a lot of unethical issues.
And deliberate unethical issues.
Yeah. Okay.
And then misleading when you were asked, it was horrible to watch the video of her saying, her video of her press conferences spliced in with the director of the FBI. I only had one mobile device that I used. In fact, she had multiple devices and it just went all like, oh, make it stop. So at the end of it.
Yeah. For me, that's the biggest concern, you know, for that, again, I have not made a decision personally, but that's the hardest thing I have for that, because I think character matters. I think a senior leader, the president of the United States, that I think that thinks they're above the law. And it's kind of like when you're platoon commander and you're evaluating, or a company commander, you're evaluating lieutenants, and they all have character, you know, flaws, whatever. And it's that gut instinct that usually is right. And my gut instinct about this is that I think, at least in the past, when Secretary Clinton or Senator Clinton, there's been that feeling that you can operate above the law. You know, and she probably wants to do right, but those rules don't really apply, and that's dangerous. And my gut tells me I don't want a president that does that, because I think that will get us in trouble, the country in trouble. That's me personally.
My guest this morning, Mike Pezzanola. He heads up one of the leadership departments at Tufts University, retired colonel, United States Marine Corps, and Jack Hoban. He is he got out of the Marine Corps as a captain. He's a principal in the creation of the Ethical Warrior and the McMap program, has translated that into Ethical Guardian that's now taught to police departments around the country, most notable in Camden, New Jersey, where they're doing incredible things with us. And Jack is the president of Resolution Group Incorporated. So bottom line, Pez, character counts, but in your assessment, General Allen has assessed that her lack of character is not as significant as his instability or his erratic nature, however you want to characterize that. That at the end of the day,
that's my read. I mean, I may be totally off base, but that appears, knowing General Allen, I think that's probably correct.
All right. Next question. What did you think about the actual delivery of the speech? And Jack, to you, he's a pretty experienced speechmaker. I'd never seen him like that before, so I sat there kind of with my mouth hanging open. He obviously assumed a political character. What did you think of the speech overall?
Well, as I think I said, I don't know him that well, but I've heard him speak before, and I didn't even recognize him. I mean, he was either assuming a political character or had gotten so caught up in the energy of the place that he's just started to mirror it. But I think the most important thing, however, is not the tone, but the words he said. And I think I've already picked out the things that he said that I agreed with, particularly America's moral stance when it comes to murder and torture, and then the negative things which I thought were a little tiny bit global on one side, and yet this American exceptionalism on the other side, without really articulating the key points of what that is and what are our common values. I missed those pieces. But other than that, I thought it was a typical political speech and quite energetic.
Pez, what did you think of the speech?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it was, that was probably the most fired up I've seen him. I mean, and I've seen him give. I've seen him give some fired up, talks way back when. Sure. But I saw a little bit of it. But that was the most energetic I've seen him. But like I said, I just think, if he stood up there, and he was wearing a suit and whatever, but when you started with, I'm a retired four-star general Marine, I mean, I wish he hadn't said that. We know that.
But he's got to. That's where his credibility comes from. He can't walk up and say, "Hi, I'm John Allen."
Yeah. Have someone else do that. It just appeared to me that it was, instead of a civilian who was in the military with a tremendous amount of experience, I just think it came across that he was almost representing the military and how the military needed to back this side of the ticket, all the veterans behind him. I think veterans for Hillary or veterans for Trump, hey, whatever, that's fine. But to use your position for that, it disturbed me from, again, using the military I mean, the military, I just think, needs to stay out of that. The active duty has it. It by law, it needs to
right.
stay out of it. But not, you know, don't use it as a tool. I just, in so direct a manner, I guess. It just, I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way.
Right. Let me read you an email, and you can both react to it. For consideration, one, he spoke up, exclamation mark, great, exclamation mark. Otherwise, quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, unquote. Two, stance with hope, comma, optimism, comma, and fearlessness versus dismay, pessimism, doom, and gloom, comma, fear, period. Number three, affirms the need for unity that is inclusive. Need to defend common values with human equality as the base. Four, affirm military is only one of the instruments of power, right, and preferably as a last resort. USA as a defender, all caps, exclamation mark. Jack, thoughts on that email?
I can't disagree with one single thing in there.
Pez?
Yeah, I think...
Go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to say, you know, when I went through the speech and picked out things that particularly stuck out to me, I like that email because it actually clarified a couple of the things that I was thinking about, and I agree with all of those.
All right, Pez?
You know, interestingly, I do agree with the email. I do. The one thing, and I love the defender piece, but the one thing... Again, and it was just my perception that all that was right, but it's the whole package and trying to tie all of that with what was said, standing up for what's right and against evil and whatever. But don't use the military.
All right.
You are military. We got it. I got that. But we just got to be very careful because that's one of the things that makes our democracy work so well is that separation of civ-mil divide.
And I guess, Pez, my question to you, Pez, would be, Pez and I have done this going back to 1990. My question, Pez, is, okay, so where, when you get your X-Acto knife out and you draw the line, where do you draw it? So it's standing up there saying I'm a general with all those people behind you. That's, you can go give your speech, but don't portray it like that. Where is that line for you?
Yeah, I think that was it. You know, and again, it's very subtle, but don't portray it as that. You are who you are. You know, and maybe you know it's how it's set up. Have somebody introduce him who he is, and then give the same speech. But again, when you tie it to all these veterans behind you, you know, and it just that it disturbed me. And again, I may be wrong. But it just, to me, it crossed the line. There's a lot of generals and admirals. Admiral Stravitas here, he's on all the time. And I think, and he doesn't pick a side. He still hasn't endorsed anyone. I don't think he will. But he provides, you know, sage wisdom and critique across the spectrum. You know, but this is someone standing up there endorsing. Which he can do. It's his right to do that.
Right.
But again, it almost was again using cross that line, using the military. And, you know, there were parts of that speech where he's talking about you know all these defenders, you know, and being on this side. The defenders need to be on both sides. They're not on a side. If Trump becomes a president, that. The military needs to support. Now, he said some things, and I agree with Jack on the torture. That stuff's crazy. There's mechanisms to get in a discussion and say, hey, this is the law. This is what we can do.
All right. Let me read to you an email from a friend. Mac, if you say my name over the air, I swear to God I'll come and blow your head off. All right. So I won't use his name because... Like most of my friends, he's not completely balanced, and he may, in fact, just do it. Mac, I'm rip shit about this stuff this morning, and here's what really pisses me off. I hate her. I don't want to vote for her. But I've watched Mr. Trump for the last year, and he's made no progress intellectually on understanding the issues relative to America's defense, relative to our two conflicts that are currently undergoing, and that's what bothers me. He throws out the same trite bullshit sayings all the time, and I pay attention, and I want him to get better because I want to vote for him. I respect General Allen. I think Pez is exactly on the money when he says he's weighed it, he doesn't have a political bone in his body, and he fears Mr. Trump as the president, and he's willing to overlook her ethical failures. And let me be direct, her complete and utter failures as an elected official, as a leader of the State Department, as an appointed official. What she did would have got us thrown in Leavenworth had we taken classified information, put it on a private server, and then had it compromised. We would have gone to prison. She will face none of that. She is a leadership and ethical failure. But I was listening to JD, and then in parentheses, please tell him I said hey, and I agree with him. If somebody put a shotgun to my balls, I don't know what I would say relative to who I would vote for. I don't want to vote for either one of them. But I'm sympathetic to General Allen's position that she may be the lesser of two evils simply because, although unethical, she has some experience in the realm where he is crazy, has a similar ethical background, and has none. How's that for a horse shit choice? All right, so I don't. You
well,
could,
there are other choices,
Jack.
Okay, there's at least two or three other ones. And you may say because of the composition of how the politics is so corrupt that there really are only two choices. But you can vote your conscience and vote somebody else. I mean, I'm considering writing in General Mattis. I mean, at least I would be able to sleep at night. But here's my theory on Trump, and it's probably off the wall. So,
sure.
Our country right now is so divided. It's shocking. And rough numbers, 45% of the people are going to vote Republican no matter who it is. 45% of the people are going to vote Democratic no matter who it is.
Right.
So who are we really fighting over here? We're fighting over the 10% of the fringe voters because they're either really smart or really crazy. If I look at Trump's campaign, it looks like to me like he is campaigning to the 10% fringe people. And if he is, maybe he's so smart that he says, well, I'll get those 10%. I'll add into my 45%, which I'm going to get anyway just for being a Republican. I'm going to win this thing. And then he's going to become normal for us all of a sudden. That would be a beautiful thing. But in the real world, I almost have to, you know, give a lot of credence to the person that was on the other side that just wrote that email and saying, look, if you look at a guy who's going to be president of the United States who's unethical, but he's going to have all these people around him as a check and balance, hopefully, or you got a guy that's off the rails, you know, maybe I should go with the person that at least doesn't look like they're off the rails. So that's my whole political viewpoint on Trump and Hillary Clinton. So
that's where we're at now.
Don't forget, America, you can write in your vote or vote for another party.
And that's where we're at. Yeah, they're both leadership failures, but one's off the rails and the other one's at least got one tire on a rail.
Yeah.
Well, either a tire on the rail or never mind. I'm not even going to say it.
There you go. Pez, your thoughts about the email?
You know, like I said, oh, that's a great email. Great America. The jury's still out for me. I mean, I agree with everyone. It's the lesser, you know, two evils. However, I think we got 4 months to go. And what I've found myself doing, and I wish more Americans would do it, you've got to get the first-hand documents. You cannot. There's going to be spin on both sides. So you got to read what they're saying, read their words. And I think we got to. I'm willing to give both of a chance. Well, I think on jury was out, we've seen what happened, what she has done,
right.
Both good and bad. With Trump, I mean, you got to look back and see his history. Obviously, you know, all the people that say he's a bigot, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you look at his history, I don't think that's the truth. I think what he is he's an open book to a fault. But again, read the words and then see how well he's going to be advised. Like I say, that New York Times interview, while it was disturbing and the points he made about NATO, the media just took the sound bites out of it, made it sound worse than it was. I really think what his approach is to bring the, I agree with Jack, to bring the business element into it and say, hey, listen, guys, we're part of an alliance. We have agreements. Let's look at the books. Let's look at this. We need to do this. But need to be diplomatic. Can't be poking them in the face. We need to work through this. I think, but it has to be clear. We are part of this alliance. Article 5 is Article 5. We are not going to block. There is not going to be any block. But we just need to, we need to look at what we signed up for and agree with it. And have plans. So, you know, again, it wasn't as outside the box as I would have thought. There were some concerning pieces. But I think that's just one thing. I think we just got to watch as this campaign develops. Does he learn? I mean, you know, he's got Mike Flynn, who's, you know, been and seen some very interesting things. And he's advising him. I'm sure some other folks have him, so see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. The another email here. Got to stand for something or your fall. And then in parentheses, song lyrics. Necessary compromise, cost of doing business, and so on. Would Trump pass any ethical litmus test any better? No. I think having listened to him prior to last night on your show, meaning General Allen, he feels compelled to get into the fray because it's his duty, all caps. Because, quote, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country, stuff like that. Whether he is credible, whether he is competent are separate issues. My gut says he is seeking a positive way to contribute, and this is what he came up with. He does not feel that sitting on the sidelines and quietly weighing in from behind the curtain is sufficient or even good, and this is the side he chose. You know what? Again, I think the more and more you consider his position and we talk about it, I think that's the inescapable conclusion. And if you know him a little bit, that certainly is. Again, I believe it. But he said he'll come on, and I'll ask him straight up, and he's good with that. Email writes this. All of the email that not the last one, but the one before, the one that wasn't as angry and profane. She refers to that. All of that struck me when watching, but I didn't have it memorized. Talk about, Pez, have you got a lot of feedback from your friends relative to this? Because I know certainly my phone was buzzing last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I will tell you, most of the comments were on the side of, I cannot believe he's doing this. I don't understand why he's doing it. She is so unethical. I don't care about what Trump is. There's no way that I could ever vote for her, and I've been saying that for years, and he's not going to walk me back. And then, .. I'm so pissed about this. And then at the end of it, it was generally some line like, but he's making me rethink it, and I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
Pez,
yeah.
Your feedback last night?
No, same. A lot of my, you know, what, and I think it was all just initial reaction, you know. And I think, you know, as you step back and you think about it, again, like I said, I'm still weighing both sides. But, the goodness of this is if he has endorsed Hillary Clinton, if, in fact, Hillary wins, no better leader to have in that cabinet or somewhere, you know, that's a positive, you know, if in fact, Hillary was president and Allen was part of that team. There's nothing but goodness in that. You know, I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing if she's president, but having John Allen on the team, knowing him. I mean,
Jack, did you have any people reach out to you in terms of comments relative to this?
Yep.
What'd they say?
They weren't very complimentary. You know, some of them were a little bit, I think, unnecessary. You know, things like, yeah, he's planned this all along because he, you know, wants to be George Marshall, you know, and he's a sellout and all this other kind of stuff. I just can't go along with that kind of extreme language. What I want to know is, what would be his position? Would his position be Secretary of Defense? Would his position be Secretary of State or something like that? Probably Secretary of State is what he would maybe aspire to. Maybe. I don't know that. And what would that mean? That would mean that we have a warrior diplomat in there, an experienced one. That's good. Just like was said, he's going to be a positive no matter where he lands if he ends up in the administration. The thing that I, you know, makes me, my little New Jersey cynicism comes in and says, I don't see how the Democrats have been that focused and committed to dealing with our biggest problem, which is in foreign policy, which is ISIS. ISIL, ISIS, IS, whatever you want. They have, and even though John Allen was ahead of the coalition to fight IS, that coalition, you know, he did it for, I don't even think it was a year, maybe a year, and then he was done, and now Turkey is almost a pariah nation with what's going on there, and they were supposed to be, you know, the big plus to add them to the coalition. So that's not, that the future of that coalition is unsure. And then we're going to land 700,000 unvetted refugees at the same time. I just don't know that John Allen's 8-minute speech is going to change the spots on the Democrats from being, frankly, soft on the Islamic state and unwary of what could happen if we let in 700,000 unvetted migrants, unvetted refugees, even if 1% of them, you know, are poised to be part of a lone wolf for situation. I mean, that's thousands and thousands of people. I mean, I don't know that the Democrats have proved to me that even with John Allen's speech, that they're the ones to take care of that particular problem.
Let me read you both an email, and it kind of alludes to what Jack is saying. Matt, first of all, I had to pinch myself knowing that that speech was being made at a Democratic convention, not a Republican convention. I was thinking, what in the hell has happened as the world turned upside down? And he said, looking at our political choices, maybe it has. But here's a quote for you. I'd be curious to hear what your guests have to say about that. Pezin, let me give you the first crack at this. The nation that makes a great distinction between its scholars and its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools. Spartan King, quoted by Thucydides.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on the quote?
It's interesting. I was just writing down, not that quote, but that right along that same vein, because I think we're at a point in our history where we have tremendous military leaders, some in the wings, some on the fence, some like Allen who have jumped to one side, that have a tremendous amount of experience, some like Allen that have done the military but have done the diplomatic side, I mean, with a suit on. My question is, but the experience is purely military. My question is where are today's, and Marshall's a perfect example, where are today's Marshals or purely diplomats like Kennan or Richard Holbrooke? I mean, like what you want on Holbrooke, you know, this detractors on both sides.
Right.
But he was not afraid to buck the system. He was not afraid to do the right thing. they were all somewhat larger than life. We don't have it. They're not there. John Kerry's not that. I mean, he's a politician. Where are the statesmen to balance these warriors that are coming up? And maybe the right answer is that you have a warrior like Alan that is crossed over. Maybe there'll be the same thing on the other side, so that both sides have somebody with that experience. But my question is, where are the senior diplomats that can stand up for the politicians and not just bother, like what we were saying about the problem with the Democratic Party and how they've dealt with the Islamic problem. Where are those politicians that aren't just falling in line with the administration, that are part of that team of teams like Lincoln put together, where there is some dissension, but it's positive dissension. It's positive. I just see a problem on the senior diplomatic side. That's just my thought on that quote and kind of how it comes together.
All right, Jack, you're the ethical warrior. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'd like to quote another Greek general named Testicles, okay?
All right.
And Testicles says, you got to have some balls here, all right? And call it what it is. We have a philosophy, a movement, whatever you call it, that says all men and women certainly are not created equal. And unless you agree with my relative values, and, you can try to call them philosophical, you can try to call them religious, you can try to call them criminal, whatever they are, but they're relative values. I'm going to kill you because all men and women are not created equal. Until somebody articulates that clearly and says, that philosophy, forget the religion, forget the part of the world that they're supposedly from or what they look like, if you have the philosophy that your relative values supersede my life value, then we need to articulate that that is an evil that must be stopped. We have to have the guts to speak up and make that clear and then create a plan to take care of it. And I wish we could negotiate with that, but you cannot negotiate with that philosophy because it's like trying to negotiate with Nazism. If you're not part of the Aryan race, then you're not human, and we can kill you. This is not a negotiation. So I think that somewhere along the line, somebody's going to have to articulate clearly that this is a philosophical battle here between relative values, strong relative values, and human equality, the concept of human equality. And we have to articulate that that's what we're dealing with, and that it has to be countered immediately, strongly, and maybe the ethical thing to do is to exterminate it.
My guest this morning, Jack Hovind, he from New Jersey, if you can't tell, a former captain in the Marine Corps, currently the president of the Resolution Group International, right, Jack?
International.
And Mike Pesnola, retired Marine colonel. He's the executive director of the Institute for Global Leadership at Tufts University. They've both been gracious enough to give up an hour of their time on a Friday and join us and talk about General Allen's speech last night at the Democratic Convention. Let me read you one more email. For the record, the Democrats created IS. Bush started it. I know. We shouldn't have gone there. I got it. But the way the current Democratic administration withdrew from Iraq has created IS and is on its way to doing it again in Afghanistan. Congratulations, boys. Next paragraph. If you're going to become a partisan, you should resign, not retire. You should give back your military pension. You shouldn't use your title. And you should go become a partisan. If you don't do that, you're either a mercenary or you've been duped. Jack, what say ye to that?
Well, that's I don't have an opinion on whether he should give back his pension and all that other kind of stuff. I don't know. I just don't have an opinion on it. And in terms of whether Bush did it or the Democrats did it, I don't care who did it. How are we going to fix it? And the first thing that we have to do is realize that, you know, we're in an ideological war, and that we have to be very, very clear philosophically and take very, very maybe harsh steps to make sure that this ideology doesn't spread and hurt and kill more innocent people.
Pez?
I agree. You know, I think with the respect to Iraq and Afghanistan, I think we talked about this before, and I go back to my lack of long-term strategic diplomatic, you know, using all elements of national power, long-term thinking on these wars. Hey, you break it, you own it. I don't, you know, you're in it. I think the current administration, it wasn't winning the war, it was getting out. And I think you can't, if you do that, you just create a vacuum, and what happens, happens. And I think we didn't fight hard enough to stay in Iraq. And I think that lesson is being shown in Afghanistan. I hope we're staying there. But I always look back, what would have happened if we pulled out of Korea, Japan, and Germany in 1960? The world would be a different place. It's not a direct analogy, but I think these are long-term problems. You know, we are in an ideological struggle with, you know, not with ISIS, but with radical Islamic terrorism. That's what we are. That's what it is. We're not. That's who we're fighting. But unfortunately, the other side, every time you use that, they will turn it around to, oh, you want to be at war with Islam. That is not what I'm saying. This is a small fraction of this religion that is being hijacked. And we got to put a circle around it and target it. Calling it violent extremist organizations, that's an amorphous mass. There's no clarity in that. That could be anything. And ISIS is too specific, because once ISIS is gone, it'll be somebody else. We got to be specific. But again, I go back to long-term strategic thinking. You know, I was a planner in Okinawa when the towers came down. And when I came back, my team was actually doing a great job. They had a bunch of pizza and beers, and they were forming an OPP called The Day After. And what they were thinking was, okay, this is going to be a long war. This is going to be a decades-long war. What do we want the world to be like? What is that end state? Because we're going to have to make friends. We're going to have to make enemies. But I don't think that was done. Instead, we're just, you know, we're taking it one year at a time. We just kind of plodding along instead of having a really global strategy with this threat and thinking it through. That's why I think that there's an element of truth in it. Is ISIS a result of that? I think we didn't fight hard enough to keep the troops there, keep what we're going on, just be committed, because a political promise was made to get out of Iraq.
All right, Pez, you want to comment on, if you want to become an open partisan, resign, don't retire, give up.
Oh, yeah. I think our country, you know, I do think that once you do retire, you know, like the situation with General Allen, you do need to realize you are on a pension. You're not wearing the uniform. You are still, you can say what you want. You can run for office. You can do it. But I don't think they need to give it up, because not enough people would do that. And we've had a history of, you look at Marshall, you look at Eisenhower, you look at Grant. I mean, you know, great military leaders have become chief executives or secretaries of state. So I think it's fine.
All right. Jack, let me give you a final comment. You watched the speech last night. Anything that you'd like to say that I'm not smart enough or articulate enough to ask you?
No, there was one email in particular I'm very grateful to that person, who really did pick out some things in that speech that I kind of had glossed over. And going to Pez's last statement, I think John Allen does realize and has realized all along and has said, even on your program, that that this war, this fight, this struggle is going to be a long one, and that us pulling out or being uncommitted or only semi-committed is going to cause way more problems than staying in. And I think John Allen has been consistent in that. And I like the things that he said in the speech. Here's my only concern. Actually, we all have a lot of different concerns, but here's the major concern. This is not just a struggle between the Jets and the Giants, okay? This is a struggle between an ideology that says, if you don't agree with my relative values, you're not an equal human being and I can kill you, versus an ideology that says, all men are created equal, and even though we may be different in all of our relative values, that the value of our life is sacrosanct and the superseding value. It's an inalienable right. And I think in order for us to maintain the high moral ground in this struggle, we need to articulate that those are the two sides, and that our side is the all men are created equal, life is an inalienable right side. And that means we have to be consistently ethical in our behavior. And that charges the President of the United States to set the example of ethical behavior. And I'm concerned that Hillary Clinton is going to have a struggle living up to that responsibility. If she wins and John Allen is part of her administration, I'm going to hope that John Allen is the conscience of that administration and leads up so that we are on the, we maintain the high moral ground. And so that's what I'll hope for, if that happens.
All right, Pez, anything that you want to say that I haven't asked you?
No, just go back to my first point. It's just I am concerned of the politicization of the military or the using the military as a vehicle. That concerns me. Other than that, you know, everything that was said, you know, the words were right, you know, and I do agree that, you know, if Allen does become part of that, he will be that voice in that barometer in there. But it is concerning across the board.
You know, I said it when I came on the air this morning, one of the things I love about doing this show is this show really stems from stuff that we started doing, and Pez was a part of it, in 1989-90 at the basic school in Quantico, where we as captains and lieutenants would get together, we would write stuff, and then we would get together and we would rip each other a new ass and argue about it. And we had this thing going where we would come on and we would talk like this. And it was smart guys who are now leading the Marine Corps, to be honest with you. Smart guys, tough questions, hard arguing. And we were pretty respectful. It was pretty profane. But we were pretty respectful in terms of intellectual ideas and being open to them. And today has been a sample of that. You know, Jack Hoban, I would tell you one of the most illuminating things that have been said on this program. He said it when he said, hey, just so everybody knows, nobody in Ferguson, Missouri, didn't know that Mike Brown wasn't a thug. What they reacted to was years and years and years of not being listened to, and everybody's got to understand that. And so to me, smart guys, hard questions, experienced guys who have great insight, they don't get enough of us on the network news. You know, Jack, you ought to be on there all the time. And thank you for coming on today. And Pez, we've been doing this for a long time. I love this kind of stuff. Smart guys, tough questions, following up, footnoting stuff. And then also having the balls to say, you know, I don't have a good answer for you. I don't, you know, J.D. Harrell last hour said, look, you could put a shotgun to my balls, and I couldn't vote for either one of them right now. And it's very disconcerting to me because I want to believe in somebody, but it isn't there. Her ethical failures, his craziness, where do I go? And I know that's what a lot of guys are wrestling with today. So first of all, I want to thank you, Jack, and you, Pez, for coming on this morning and helping us make heads or tails out of it, and love this kind of stuff, and hope you don't mind if I continue to call you guys and have you back on.
Absolutely.
Sure. With a caveat that, you know, just a couple of Marines with opinions, that's it.
You know what? But again, again, what I love, though, smart guys, well-thought guys, well-read guys, and aren't any stranger to fighting and are okay with it and don't act like pussies about it. So there you go. How's that for a compliment?
All right.
All right. Jack, thank you.
Hey, great talking to you, Pez. And Mac,
hey,
take care.
All right. My privilege. Pez, thank you.
Thanks, Mac.
All right, bud. See ya. Mike Pez Nola, Jack Hovind. Awesome. More of All Ring Radio. Mike and Mike coming up next.